Would you open the meeting in prayer, please, and come up?
Dear Lord, we love you so much.
Amen.
We pray that you will be here in this meeting. We pray that your presence will sink deep into our hearts.
Praise.
We know that this is the last meeting of the camp, Lord. We pray that all those open spaces in our hearts that need to be filled, Lord.
Amen.
That your holy presence will come.
Yes.
And that you will fill us so full.
Amen.
That we will be full of your Spirit as we go from this place.
Hallelujah.
And we will take it to those around us, Lord.
Amen.
We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. There are a couple of prayer requests that we will take right at the outset of the meeting. I'll read them to you. Please pray for my dad and mom, Daniel and Melody Zilke. Melody suffered an acute psychotic episode 1 month ago and remains hospitalized. Daniel has moved into an assisted living facility. He recently fractured his humerus, upper arm. Please pray for their healing and reunion. From Tim and Jessica Zilke. Our Heavenly Father, we don't always know why we go through the things we do. But Father, we know that you are in control of all things.
Amen.
And Father, our hearts go out to Daniel and Melody at this time in their present circumstances. And Father, they have gone through much from time to time. And Lord, we bring them before your throne of grace this evening. And we pray, dear Father, for this injury that Daniel has suffered. We pray, Father, that your holy presence and Holy Spirit would just be upon him to touch and to heal. And Father, that he would feel your presence overshadowing him, upon him, dear Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you would accomplish just as exactly what you desire to accomplish in his life, and that your healing, your special touch would be upon this upper arm injury, dear Lord. Oh, Father, let it be. Let there be a miracle. Let there be a healing. And we remember Melody, dear Lord, and her hospitalization due to her condition. Father, you are able for every condition. There's nothing that is too difficult for you. And Father, we know that you can touch her. Lord, that you can put back into order all that is out of order in her body, in her mind. Father, she needs that special touch from you tonight. And Lord, we would love to see them back together again in one place. Father, you speak in your word about one place and one accord. And Lord, we pray for that, for Daniel and for Melody.
Yes.
And Lord, may their family rally around them at this time and give them the support that they need. We pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
This request is for Gabe Christensen. My friend Gabe has a major health problem. Now I see there's another one or two prayer requests here, and I want some help with this. Brian, would you come, please? My friend Gabe has major health problems with his kidneys and liver. He is not able to be on a transplant list due to other health issues. He is not a Christian. I have known him for about 28 years. He may only have a year or so to live. Please pray for a physical healing and a spiritual healing for his life. And this is submitted by Isaac Cornell.
Hallelujah.
Father,
Hallelujah.
There are two needs here. And we know that you are able for both of them.
Yes.
Lord, we just remember Gabe tonight.
Yes, Lord.
We remember, Father, that he is in need of spiritual healing as well as physical healing. We pray, dear Father, that you will make yourself real to him, that he will see you as the one that can meet his needs.
Yes, Lord.
So, Lord, we just pray that will happen, that he will come to know you, that he will come to give his life to you. And, Father, we also remember his physical need,
Lord God,
regarding his liver and his kidneys. Lord, this is a tremendous work that needs to be done in his body.
Yes, Lord.
And we know, dear Father, that you know all about it. You know all about the physical body, and you can make the changes that are necessary for this to be strengthened, for this to be made new, dear Father. And we pray for that healing, that physical healing upon Gabe tonight. Be with him in a special way. Reveal yourself to him, we pray. And may Isaac, when he is with him or when he sees him, may he be a testimony to him.
Yes, Lord.
Give him words of wisdom. May he be a real strength to his friend, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We had mentioned this morning that we would like to pray over a handkerchief, but I'm aware that I didn't do anything about finding a handkerchief. Is there one available that you know of, or a reasonable facsimile? Anyway, if someone feels they know where to find one, we would like to pray over a handkerchief for Nolan Roberts as well. Is that still... If you just think about that, if there's somebody who might have a handkerchief. We want to pray for a request here from Mark and Brenda. They, first of all, ask for prayer for friends of theirs that are having marriage problems. But let's stand and pray for this marriage.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love marriages and you love homes. And we know that they are vulnerable to attack and to division and strife and discord. But Lord, you are the Prince of Peace. You are the one who brings reconciliation. We join Brenda and Mark right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift this couple up before you that you know perfectly well. We thank you for the privilege of praying for them. And we know, dear Lord, that you have heard our petition right now. We just ask that you begin a work of reversing all the hurt and all of the harm, dear Lord, and that love would predominate, dear Lord, and replace every other thing that is dismantling their marriage. Let love, your love, dear Lord, pervade their home. And Father, as Mark and Brenda may have a role in ministering to them, let the Prince of Peace and the wisdom of God be theirs, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
The second request is for Noelle, their daughter. She has had some tough times, and recently her laptop and camera were stolen, and her car broke down. Also, she is starting a new job and moving to Saskatoon. Hooray! Please pray that this will be a good life choice for her and that she will make a success of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's join hands. Would you join hands where you are? And praise God. Father, we thank you for Noelle and the blessing that she's been to the church and to her family, dear Lord. And Heavenly Father, we've seen her on troubled waters many times. And Father, as she moves to Saskatoon, we pray that you would give her a reprieve, a good long reprieve and a resting time, mental rest and spiritual rest, and that you would console her in many, many ways, dear Lord. And we pray that you would speak to the waters in her life and to the wind in her life, dear Lord, that you would say, peace be still, and just cause her to be able to settle in, dear Lord, where she is, and to fit in well with the church and be a blessing and be blessed, we pray. We just commit her to you, Lord. This is very important to us, and we know that it's even more important to you that Noelle be able to succeed in these avenues, dear Lord. We just thank you for her, and just love on her heart, dear Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Has anybody come up with an idea for something or a blanket? Oh, we have. Good man. Thank you. For Nolan, do you want to just come? Do you want to tell us, or do you just want us to pray? Because it may be confidential, Paul. Okay.
Double everything.
Just the two of us, or do you want more of everybody?
Byron, maybe you'll join us, and Marcus just...
Andy? Too.
Yeah, and Andy?
Paul shared with me, we want healing.
Amen.
For Nolan. And this is a simple thing for God, but not for Nolan, right? Unless God sets him free. So let's just all join our hearts and ask God to impart through into this handkerchief such an anointing. Praise God.
Praise.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Lord, praise God.
Praise God.
My God.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lord, we are thankful for Nolan, dear Lord, and we thank you for your great love for him. And Lord, those of us who've come to know him, we cherish him, dear Lord, and we cherish the family that he belongs to. And Heavenly Father, you know his need, better than anyone does, even better than himself.
Amen.
Lord, even as handkerchiefs and aprons were brought to the apostles in times past and healing flowed, dear Lord, we pray that the anointing would be unstoppable in his life,
Amen.
Dear Lord, and that every need in him, body, soul, and spirit, in his mind and in his comprehension, dear Lord, would be healed completely. And even as we heard testimony this week of how little children were diagnosed with things that would appear to be permanent, and you decided to change it, dear Lord, we ask you in your grace and mercy to bring change for Nolan. In the name of Jesus, we come in agreement before you, Lord. Anoint this cloth, and may it may the anointing just increase and increase and not diminish. In Nolan's life, we pray in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise the Lord.
Praise
God.
Brother, you will.
Yeah, you stay.
We have a prayer request for Brother Ewalt. He's hospitalized right now and not even able to turn over in the bed. And he's requested prayer from the saints as we gather together. So let's just hold our hands out and we'll just have a prayer for Brother Ewalt.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we have many memories of our dear Brother Ewalt. Amen. He ministered so faithfully from the very beginning of this move of the Spirit to the church, not only in North America, but in other countries.
Yes.
He was so faithful and ministered life and healing and taught to us in so many important things.
Yes, Lord.
And he's suffering right now, Lord.
Lord.
Lord, we just hold our hands out towards him.
Amen.
We ask that you would just stretch forth your healing power, that you would just touch him.
Hallelujah.
Restore the strength that he's enjoyed so that he can become mobile again.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask that the joy of the Lord would fill his heart so that he can once again begin to sing the melodies of praise unto you.
Yes.
Lord, we hold him up and believe with all of our hearts that he's going to see a change in his life,
Jesus.
In his body and his whole being, we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, in Jesus' name,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Could we have the Greif family come now, please, as those that are going to sing?
This is an old hymn, an inspired hymn that we love, and Ashton wanted to sing this, and I appreciate the fact that Ashton loves the old hymns. It's called Be Thou My Vision.
Thou my grace.
Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's Son. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
We have a couple of things. We have a couple of things that... Am I coming through? Well, I can't do anything about it.
It'll be okay.
It'll be okay. Okay. I have a couple of things that we would like to do tonight, and so we'll just have a couple of choruses. I would like to speak to you for a few minutes tonight. I don't know if Irene has brought her stopwatch along, but if... she has. She can put it on and it'll go. The alarm will go off when I'm supposed to quit. I would like us to sing, God is Moving Us On. And maybe we could have a little accompaniment. He is leading the way. It's a way we have never gone before. And in many ways, that's true, isn't it? It's a way we have never gone before. There are mountains to climb. There are valleys to cross. But before us, we see an open door. God is moving us on.
in me. When you need me, Lord, help me to see that I'm part of the plan that you have made for man. When you're moving, Lord, move in me. Moving. That's something we've got to remember, that it's not just a Sunday morning thing. It's not just a midweek prayer meeting thing. When God is moving always, and He's ready to move in you at any time. Is that not right?
Yes.
And so when you're in the marketplace, when you're washing your car, when you're having coffee, when you're whatever you're doing, God can move on you right there. Hallelujah. And I think that's something we always need to remember. He wants to move in us, and He wants us to be ready to move as He would move upon us. Praise the Lord. When you're moving, Lord, move in me. One more time. Seated. I don't know whether this will be a good culmination word or not. I guess you can be the judge of that. It's something that that I had on my heart, and I don't think it's a very long message, but it may be worthwhile to just say it. I was reminded, I guess a couple of weeks ago, about a story, one that you probably have heard before, but I'm going to tell it to you again. You know this thing about repetition. It seems that there was a fellow that was walking down the street and came to a construction site. And as he was walking along, he saw one of the workers there on that site, and he said to the worker, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I am laying bricks." All right, he walked on a little further. And he came to the second fellow and was working, and he said, asked him the same question. "What are you doing?" To which the worker replied, "I'm building a wall." He walked on further to the third worker, asked the same question. "What are you doing?" To which the third worker replied, as he looked up into the sky with a smile on his face, "I am building a cathedral."
Hallelujah.
The third worker had a vision of what the result of his labor would be. He saw beyond the immediate task of laying bricks and building walls. He saw more than bricks and mortar. His vision was the beauty of the completed structure. He saw that in his mind's eye, that was the goal, that was the purpose of the brick laying. God is in the building business. Do you believe that?
Amen.
God is in the building business. He is building something so magnificent,
yes,
that the mind of man cannot grasp the splendor or the magnitude of it. The completed structure will have a monumental impact on the entire creation.
Yes.
God is building a kingdom, and his building materials are living stones. Now, it's a whole lot easier to build with inanimate objects, bricks, than it is to build with something that is living. The bricks have no will of their own. They are in complete submission to the mason. He chips and shapes and chisels and fits each brick into its proper place in the building. There's no back talk. There's no dissatisfaction with its position in the building. There's no jealousy that other bricks were chosen for a more prestigious place in the building. There's just complete submission and obedience to the will of the bricklayer. The living stones, the material that God is using to build his kingdom must become just as dead to their own wills as the bricks are to the will of the bricklayer. If you don't hear anything else that I say tonight, would you tuck that away?
Amen.
Your will has got to become submissive, and my will, of course, to become submissive to the Master, to the one that is building this structure that is being built even now as we gather here. We are living stones. He is fitting us in. Let me give you a scripture in 1 Peter 2 and 5. You, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Paul captures the essence of how this building is coming together in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 19 to 22. When he says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners." You are no longer strangers and foreigners. You know, we sing that song, "Thou shalt no longer be a stranger, wandering to and fro." There was a time when I believed that I was a stranger. But I don't think that way anymore.
Amen.
I believe that God knows who I am.
Hallelujah.
That when I talk to Him, He says, I think He's saying, I've heard from Him quite a few times before.
Amen.
He's always got problems, this fellow. You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm a citizen of Canada. I have some things that result from that foreigners don't have. They don't have the same, what word do I want? Privileges, that's a good word. I was going to say perks, but that isn't really a very good word. I have privileges that you from the United States don't have when you come to Canada, and of course it's vice versa. But we are fellow citizens with the saints. Can you hear that? Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You know, in your home, you've got mom and dad and you've got a few kids. They're members of that household. They don't say, "Can I come out? Can I eat tonight?" The way I had it figured out, they were in the fridge all the time. They never asked anybody. That was the privilege they had of being a member of that household. The neighbor didn't come over and go into the fridge. Not that I ever remember, did they, Irene? They weren't sitting up at the supper table unless they'd been invited. They weren't a member of that household. But those three boys of ours were. And they knew what their privileges were. We are members of the household of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Boy, that's rock solid.
Amen.
That is about as solid as you're going to be as anything that you can stand on. The foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. In whom the whole building being fitted together. You know, the ministries, the gifts that God has given to the church fit together. Have you ever had the experience of being in a situation where you didn't fit? I'm not even talking about out in the world now. I'm talking about in the church. Where something happens and you say to yourself, oh my goodness, I wish so-and-so was here.
Yeah.
I wish this ministry was here.
Yeah.
Because this ministry could minister to this need that is right before us. But I'm like a fish out of water. That's the body of Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
Just knit together. Whatever the need is. We were in some years ago when we traveled with Brother Albert and Sister Marion Hannigan a bit, Irene and I, and we would be amazed at their ministry that we didn't have.
Yeah.
I just longed for the ride. You know, they were doing the ministry. I remember one time Irene said to me after we had visited, and all we visited and we visited and we visited. I was just oof. Anyway, I hope Albert doesn't hear this. Irene said to me when we got home or back to our hotel or wherever it was, she said to me, did you see a ministry in operation tonight?
Hallelujah.
Did I see a ministry in operation? You bet. Not one that I could fulfill, but he could, or they could. A ministry. We need to use our ministries in the right places. Otherwise, we don't fit. We just don't fit. And there isn't really much point in trying to make a brick fit that hasn't been chiseled and shaped properly in that fitting place, is there? And we need to remember that about one another. Sometimes I have had the feeling, or I got the sense, that somebody feels, well, why aren't you doing that? Or why can't you do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God didn't choose me to do that.
Yes.
That's why. And maybe that's an excuse sometimes. But I trust that we have a sense of the moving of the Spirit in our lives so that we know the difference. We know that we're just making an excuse. Or we know God says, you know, you don't fit very well here. You need somebody else here to deal with this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Being so we're fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Yes.
And I want to just use one other scripture here. And it's found in 1 Peter 2:9. Where it says, but you are a chosen generation.
Hallelujah.
A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, or the King James says, a peculiar people. Peculiar means this, belonging exclusively to God. That's what it means. But that's what peculiar means there. Belonging exclusively to God. That you may proclaim with the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We don't need to walk in darkness because He is light. And He says, I shed my light abroad in your pathway so that you can see where you are going. Hallelujah. He is light and He is life to us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was in complete submission to the will of His Father. In other words, let me put it this way. He was dead to His own will.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Let me give you three examples of times when Jesus said these very things about being in the will of the Father. He said, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus' words. That's John 5:30. And then in John 12:50, Jesus said, "Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Okay? Now he's saying, I speak what the Father gives me to speak. And in John 14:31, Jesus said, "As the Father gave me commandment, so I do." In other words, I do what the Father gives me to do.
Amen.
I do His will. I speak His words. I do what He asks me to, what He wants me to do. Complete submission to the will of the Father. I was reading about a missionary. I think he was a missionary to India, if I remember correctly, and it's a couple of centuries ago, who said, "I don't fear failure nearly as much as I fear success at what God is not interested in."
Right.
I'll tell you, I read that and I thought, wow, this guy had some insight. I don't fear failure nearly so much as I fear success at what God is not interested in. Success at carrying out your own will is just foreign to God.
That's right.
A wicked way. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? But that's really what it is. Your way, your will, is just a wicked way. Matthew 7:21 to 33. Pardon me. Matthew 7:21 to 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Isn't that quite a thing? Being in the center of the will of God is crucial for God's people. Absolutely crucial. Essential. I want to come back to it for a moment. To something I think I said when I talked to you a few days ago. Now, when I do this, I hope you don't think I'm losing some of my marbles. Because, no, he forgot that he said that the other day. Well, no, I'm not that far gone. Almost, but not that quite. I am using the same chorus for a little different purpose. We sing the chorus, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." There are some powerful words in this chorus, and I'd like to dwell on it for just a moment or two. There is really no other beauty that you could desire than the beauty of Christ. It's a beauty of His nature. My nature is when I'm not in the Spirit, my nature is of the Adamic nature. When I'm in the Spirit, that changes. And you know, the day will come when we will come in and we will no more go out. We won't come in. We won't be going in and out. You know, I'm in the Spirit now, but now I'm not. And now I'm not. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or are you just in the Spirit all the time? I don't think you are. Every time I use a harsh voice or a term to someone or to my wife or could be someone else, I'm not in the Spirit. I'm outside the Spirit. That's where I am. The beauty of Jesus is being in the Spirit. And then you're portraying the very nature of Christ. Hallelujah. Now that second line says, all His wonderful passion and purity. That's part of His beauty. All of His wonderful passion and purity. Now, Jesus was passionate about things, wasn't He?
Yes, He was.
He was passionate about, you know, we can name a whole lot of things, but He was passionate about forgiveness. He was passionate about reconciliation. He was passionate about loving God and loving your neighbor. He was passionate about the fatherless, and He was passionate about the widows.
Yes, amen.
And He was passionate about husbands loving their wives and wives loving their husbands and families getting along. And He was all about that sort of thing. He was all about love.
Yes, amen.
He was passionate about what the Father was passionate about.
Amen.
And so the beauty of Jesus is having those same passions in us. The very same passions that Christ demonstrated when He walked the earth. He looked at the multitude and His heart went out to the multitude because of their sicknesses, because of their diseases, and He healed them. His heart went out to them when He looked at them and said, they are as sheep without a shepherd. Oh, brothers and sisters, there are countless millions that are sheep without shepherds today. You should be so thankful for your shepherds. They're called elders. Oh yes, you'll be able to find a few weaknesses here and there. Put up your hand if you don't have any. God has put them there. God has put them there. And those kinds of things we need to remember. I should say, elders and deacons. All His passion, all His purity is His beauty. And He wants that beauty to be resident in us. O Thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine. My nature needs refining. I'm not so keen on the process. Because I know it's heat. But I'll tell you something. If we will yield to the refiner, He will have pure gold.
Amen.
You bet He will. All my nature refine till the beauty of Jesus is seen in me. So the refining process is part of it. And the only way the beauty of Jesus can be revealed through us is by that process, is by letting the Spirit of God transform you and change you from what you presently are to what He wants you to be. Hallelujah. You know, do you ever get tired of yourself? I get so sick of myself sometimes. But you know, I better not give up on me because God hasn't given up on me.
Hallelujah.
And so I've got to remember that He wants to just refine me.
Yeah.
He just wants to work on me. He just wants to chisel a bit here. And he wants to shape a little bit there. And mold. And make me into what he wants me to be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To refine is to be free from impurities or defects. To purify. This will not be pleasant to the flesh, but absolutely necessary if we are to fit into the structure that God is building. I believe that we have a choice. I'm a firm believer in choices. We can choose, or we can choose not to choose. In a lot of things, we can make decisions that are good, solid decisions based on Scripture, based on what Christ has said to us. We can make good, solid decisions. Or we can waver from that and say, well, this isn't quite the way it is, but I think it's okay. Well, I don't think it is okay. Because I like what I think it was Brian has ministered to us more than once about this way that we are traveling, this narrow way and this straight gate. The way is getting narrower.
Yes, it is.
What was once okay is not okay anymore.
Yep.
God is refining. God is changing. God is saying, now just a minute here. That was okay. I winked at that. You were young. You were just a kid. If I could use those kinds of terms. You weren't mature. You weren't very mature. So it was okay. But you are maturing. I want you as a son. I don't want you as an immature child. And so now, some changes. What you once did, God says, uh-uh, no longer. You know, we need to get real serious about examining ourselves.
Yeah, amen, amen.
We can examine ourselves at other times other than the communion table as well. But that is one time when we can really examine ourselves. When we've got time, when we're sitting there waiting. This is why there should be a quiet time during the communion.
Amen.
For the examination purpose. There should be a quiet time. I'm not saying the whole thing has to be quiet. But there should be a time there that there's a quiet time. When we have a chance and an opportunity to examine our hearts in what God wants to put His finger on, when God wants to change in our lives. I could give examples, but I don't have to give you examples. You will know, because God will speak to you if you are serious with Him. If you mean business with Him, He will show you, He will tell you what He wants to change in your life. The refiner is in charge of the process. Submission to the will of the refiner will result in the dross being skimmed off and pure gold remaining. Malachi 3:2, for he is like refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. You see, it would seem that the refining process results in righteousness, in purification. And God is very interested in our purification. In us becoming His righteousness. Not our own righteousness. It's filthy rags in His sight. But His righteousness.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I'm winding down now. Another analogy
But Irene, I won't close two or three times. Another analogy used in Scripture is that of the potter and the clay. The clay has no control over the potter.
That's right.
It is the potter that makes the vessel that he desires to create. It is our responsibility as the clay to yield to the potter, allowing him to make us and mold us according to his divine will and plan.
Yes.
Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." What more could we ever desire than to be a vessel subject to the will of the Master, designed and fit for His use, and to move as He moves upon us in such a way as to make evident the beauty of Jesus in us. Some years ago, I was sitting alone in my in-laws' house. You know, this is, maybe I shouldn't say it. You know, I'm married to my first wife's sister. You know that, did you? Most of you know that. Well, part of the reason was because I didn't have to change in-laws. It wasn't the only thing I read. But it sure worked out nice. Didn't have to get a new set of, you know, people to impress. Anyway, some years ago, I was sitting there one Saturday afternoon by myself for some reason, and I was thinking about the service that was coming the next morning. I guess I probably was an elder at that time. I think I was. I can't remember for sure. I'd written a little poetry, and I know you get tired of me talking about poetry, so I won't do it so much anymore. Anyway, I was sitting there, and I was thinking about the potter and the clay. And some lines began to come to me. And it's perhaps the only time in my life that the whole thing kind of came at one time. You know, I could just kind of write it down. Most of the time I got to sit and ponder and change and wiggle around and leave it and come back to it. But I just sat down and wrote it. You've heard it before, likely. But it kind of fits what I've talked about tonight. I'd like to close with it. I titled it "The Potter and the Clay," and it goes like this. The sculptor studies the lump of clay, which has no form and a color gray. A misshapen mass is what most would see, but the potter discerns what its value can be. So he takes what others would cast away and begins to work on the formless clay. He stretches and shapes and molds with vision. What the clay will become is the potter's decision. The clay must be perfect. On the wheel it must go. If the clay could speak, it would say, "Oh no." But the clay must yield to the master's hand to be the vessel of use that he has planned. After the shaping and molding's complete, it's then subjected to the kiln's heat. This fiery trial gives strength to the clay,
and will be vital for testings along the way. A vessel of use and one of beauty. To obey is really its only duty. Fit for the master and designed for perfection. Fashioned by his will and his introspection. We are each that lump of formless clay that the master would shape in his own way. Let us yield to the potter, and we will see that the vessel he forms is what he wants us to be. Our Father, we desire within our innermost being that we would yield to the will of the Master. Lord, you know what the human will is like. You have experienced it. You even said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, as you faced Calvary. Surely we understand why you would say that in that which you are about to face. We are so thankful, dear Lord, that you were willing to go to the cross for us. We are so thankful that you shed your precious blood for us. Lord, we are so thankful that all you want to do in each of our lives is just mold us and make us in your very likeness and in your image. Father, the things that we have to go through are not easy. They're not easy for the flesh. The flesh cringes at the trials, at the testings. But, O Lord, we know that you will be with us through the fiery trials. We know that you will stand with us in the testings, and that you will not give us that which is too heavy to bear. We know that the Hebrew children went through the furnace experience. They would not bow down to a foreign god, and you were right there with them in the fire. And the only result of that was that the bonds that bound them were burnt away and they were set free. Amen. Oh, our God, this flesh must be burnt away. This flesh must be dealt with. And we know that you can do that. Give us the strength, the willingness, the submission to yield. That you might make us into that vessel that you want us to be. Father, thank you for your moving. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the experiences that you have given us. For Lord, we know that through them all, you've made us a little stronger. You've made us a little more mature. And that day will come when we will stand as mature sons of the Most High God.
Oh, Father, we desire it.
Yes,
Lord. Our heart yearns for deliverance. We cry out, O God, as the children of Israel cried out in their bondage. And you heard them. You acknowledged them. And oh, Father, we know this, the account that you began the Exodus. You began to move them out and take them right into the promised land. Father, we know the land is before us.
Amen.
Even though the this spiritual Jordan may be in full flood, you are greater than every obstacle. You are greater than every circumstance that we face. For you are God. And so, Father, give us a perseverant heart. Give us a desire to move on into the glories that you have designed for your people. We thank you tonight. And oh, Father, let your blessing rest upon your people wherever they are. And bring us into that oneness and unity that you want us to come into.
Yes.
In thy name we pray. Amen.
In just a couple minutes here, we're going to pray for the all the children, young people going to school. A lot of people are going to school here in the next week or 2 weeks, and all the kids are saying, oh, no, and all the parents are saying, yes. So we want to pray for the kids and dedicate all the school kids to the Lord tonight. But before we do that, I want to read just a couple pieces of advice for young people. Just kind of rapid fire here. First off, appreciate what Brother Merz shared tonight. At the beginning of the week, he mentioned that repetition is good, isn't it? It's good to hear things frequently. That's we learn when we hear things frequently. They say two things happen when you get older. You start to repeat things. And the second thing that happens is you start to repeat things. So, but anyway, it's good for all of us. Okay, commandments for young people. Stop and think before you drink. And I'd like to go a little bit further. I'd like to encourage you young people to never, ever, 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 ever drink at all. I can make a guarantee, I said this earlier this week, if you never start the practice of drinking, stay away from it, you're going to save yourself a lot of trouble. Yourself and the generations to come that watch you. Now, like I mentioned earlier in the week, if you drink with your buddies, it doesn't mean you'll become an alcoholic, but there is a chance you will. If you don't drink, there is no chance that you will become an alcoholic. It's kind of like having a bag with a rattlesnake in there, and I could poke my hand in that bag maybe 10 times, maybe 20 times, and not get bit. But I'm eventually going to get bit. If you drink, eventually you're going to get bit. Or if you don't, the next generation will. So anyway, young people, stop and think before you drink. Just totally refrain from it. Young people, don't let your parents down. They brought you up. Think of your parents. Do things out of respect for your parents. Honor and respect mom and dad. be humble enough to obey, you'll be given orders someday. You have to learn how to take orders. You learn how to take orders at home. You learn how to obey at home. You learn how to obey in the workforce, at school. You'll be very successful. God wants us to learn to obey. Amen. Someday you'll be given the orders. But be humble enough to learn to submit. Be humble enough to obey. You'll be giving orders someday. At the first moment, turn away from unclean thoughts at the very first moment. We are tempted all the time by many, many different things. When you're tempted, turn away from it. Just turn away from it immediately. Remember, King David got in trouble when he looked over there. He was supposed to be at war. He stayed home that spring, and there was Bathsheba over there. And he looked and kept looking, and he got into a lot of trouble because he kept looking. He didn't turn away from his unclean thoughts. At the first moment, turn away from unclean thoughts at the very first moment. Young people, choose your friends carefully. Look at your friends. They're your future. The kind of people you associate with, that's your future. I need to warn particularly teenagers. Some of the most difficult years of your entire life will be about from 16 to about 22. That's some of the most difficult years you will ever go through. You're changing physically, emotionally, chemically. The portion of your brain that deals with emotions, it's an overdrive. Everything feels real good or it feels real bad. You're hyper-emotional. You get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you see a pimple, you're ready to commit suicide. You know, I'm exaggerating, but things happen to kids because they're extremely emotional. Young people 16 to 22, there's one thing that's missing. I'm going to say it's not an insult. It's not developed yet. It's a thing called wisdom. The ability to make wise choices is diminished as a teenager. When you're a teenager, you want to do things that feel good, and the part of your brain that deals with the wisdom, the repercussions, is not yet working yet. They say that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when he was 12, because if he'd been 13, it wouldn't have been a sacrifice. There's a bumper sticker that says, teenagers, move out of your home now while you still know everything. But I love teenagers. I'm just teasing. But I want to just warn teenagers, this is the time you really need to listen to mom and dad and those that are older and the elders, because they've been there. Peer pressure is powerful. Choose your friends carefully. Choose a date who would make a good mate. Choose a date who would make a good mate. Make wise choices. The Bible talks about don't be unequally yoked. If there's somebody that wouldn't be a good mate, then don't date them. You don't need to do recreational dating. Choose a date who would make a good mate. It's been mentioned already, but God has created intimacy for marriage, and He's blessed it, and that's the only place that it belongs, is in marriage. Bible talks about fornication, that God condemns that, and the Lord does. So young people, choose a date that will be a good mate, and wait until you're married. Don't short-circuit the plan of God. Don't commit fornication. Don't live together. Just wait for God's absolute best, for His absolute best. Choose a date who would make a good mate. Go to church faithfully. The Creator gave you a week. Give Him an hour. And you're doing the right thing right here tonight. Go to church every week and go to at least one camp meeting a year, and you will be blessed. Make that a priority. I'm going to go to church every week unless it's physically impossible, and I'm going to go to camp at least once a year. I said this earlier, but choose your companions carefully. You are what they are. Now, avoid following the crowd. Be an engine, not a caboose. Be in the front. Avoid following the crowd. Again, particularly young people, you want to follow the crowd. You ever notice in high school or college, if a particular coat is in style or pants or haircut, everybody's got the same thing, don't they? You know, people just naturally want to follow the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. Find a way to take a stand. Be master of your habits, or they will master you. You know, establish good habits. Be a master of your habits. Those habits could be getting up early, working hard and diligently, studying well, reading the Bible daily. Establish good habits.
Amen.
If you got some bad habits, recognize them and fix them. Learn to fix them. Master your habits, or they will master you. Treasure your time. Don't spend it, invest it. Use your time effectively. Treasure your time. You know, there we can all talk about time wasters. There are great time wasters, aren't there? Particularly for young people, for all of us. What are some time wasters? Television. You can use television properly. Another big time waster in our period, time frame we live in now, is video games. Am I right?
Yeah.
Young people can play video games for hours. I'm not saying playing video games is wrong, but it is 8 hours a day is wrong. Or if it's interfering with your school or your homework, then it is wrong. So be a master of your habit. Treasure your time. Stand for something or you will fall for anything. Take a stand. Learn to take a stand, even as young people. Take a stand or you will fall for anything. If something isn't right, learn to take a stand for what is right. If the whole world is favoring certain things that are wrong, you take a stand for what's right. You don't have to follow the crowd. Stand for something or you will fall for anything. I remember when I was in high school, I became a Christian when I was a sophomore, and it seems like I lost all my friends after that. But I learned something. It was better to have no friends than the wrong friends.
Yes.
And I spent a couple years kind of lonely. After I came to the Lord, I just didn't have that good Christian friend that I really wanted. But I took a stand, and there were things that I would not fall into that other kids did because I was a Christian. And I remember my last year senior in high school, the guy that I felt like I had no friends, as the year went on, I kept having different kids coming to me and kind of sharing their burdens with me. And I got a chance to talk to some about the Lord. And I thought it was so interesting because here I'm this quiet, introverted guy. I didn't have a lot of friends. And yet they knew who they could go to. Why? Because I took a stand. And I decided I wouldn't fall for anything, for everything. Guard your thoughts, what you think you are. Learn to, Brother Sumbo mentioned tonight, choice. Learn to guard your thoughts. Your thoughts are going the wrong direction. Make a choice to make them go the right direction. Guard your thoughts. Don't fill up on the world's crumbs. Feed your soul on the living bread.
Amen.
The world's got a lot of things out there to offer you that you can snack on. Don't fill up on the world's crumbs. Feed your soul on the living bread. Give your all to Christ. He gave his all for you. And just one last scripture. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he will reap from the flesh corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. There's a law of sowing and reaping, and just briefly, this is how it goes. There's a law of sowing and reaping, and it goes like this. You reap what you sow. You reap later than what you sow. You reap greater than what you sow. The law of sowing and reaping. If you reap to the flesh, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap from the flesh. You'll reap later, and you will reap greater than what you sowed. If you sow to the Spirit, if you sow good things, you get involved in good things, you'll still reap later, it grows up later, and it will still be greater. You take a stand as a young person tonight, whether you're 10 years old or 15 or 16 or 20, you take a stand, you dedicate yourself to the Lord now, you're reaping what you sow, and someday you'll be standing up here and looking across the congregation. You'll see your grandchildren. You'll reap what you sow. Make an investment. So I'm going to ask tonight that everyone that is going to school any grade, including university, in the next couple weeks, I'm going to ask you to come up on this platform, and we're all going to pray for you and dedicate you. Just come all the way up here and fill the platform. And before we pray for everyone else while they're coming up here, I want to give thanks to these particularly two girls here. I've been walking in the wrong door every night. I've been walking over here. And someone told me that there's a special greeting if you walk in the back door. Now, can you do the greeting that you've been doing all week? Show us what you've been doing.
We change it every week.
Oh, you change it every night? Oh, well, what did you do tonight? Can you do the one you did tonight?
Welcome to the last service.
Okay, thank you. Well, a special thanks to their kindness and generosity and to their parents for raising them right. Amen? Okay, amen. So we got all these handsome kids here. So I'm going to ask the elders just to stand down here, just in front. All the elders will stand here, and we're going to say a prayer here in just a minute. You just stand in the front here, kind of face them. And I'm going to ask Brother Sumbo to come back up again, and I'm going to ask you to pray for these young people corporately.
I don't know how many times when I was with young people day after day for 30 years, I wish that I could do what I'm going to do tonight. In the public school system, those kinds of things are frowned upon. But I'll tell you, there's a need in our institutions of learning for the principles of God to be once again established.
Amen.
We've been losing them little by little over time. What a privilege it is for these young people that stand before you tonight to come from the homes that they come from. What a privilege it is for them to attend church services Sunday after Sunday, where the Spirit of God is moving. And as we've seen in this camp, the Spirit has moved upon some pretty young children here. We've seen them pray. I've watched them when I've been up here, and they're into it. They're following. They're watching, and they're listening. It's not time wasted. It's very valuable time that they spend with you in your home. You know, pardon me, Andy, but you don't have them for very long. You young parents, you don't have them for very long. I tell you, you turn around three times and they're out of elementary school and they're into high school. Turn around a few more times and they're graduating high school and they're off to college.
they're kind of on their own. Tell you what you've instilled in them. When you had them in your home, is never lost. It will go with them all the days of their life. Those scriptures they have studied, that they have memorized, they will come back to their minds when they need them. Trevor said to his mother one day, "You know, all of, this wasn't too long ago. He's 45. You know, all those scriptures you made me memorize when I was a kid, emphasis on the made me. I remember many of them today. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Father, as we stand here tonight with these dear young people on this stage and their elders and their parents in front of them, Father, first of all, we just want to thank you.
Amen.
We want to thank you, Father, for each of their lives. From the very youngest to the oldest. Lord, we pray for them individually and we pray for them corporately.
Yes. Amen.
Father, we pray that you will instill in them a deep, settled desire to walk with you.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen.
Root them, O our God, and ground them in your dear Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May they be clothed with Christ. Oh, Father, there could be no better clothing than the garment of Christ that they can wear day by day, week after week. Father, we pray that they will be a real testimony, that they will be a real blessing to their classmates,
amen,
to their friends,
amen,
to their teachers,
yes,
to the administrator of their schools,
amen,
to the programs that they're in. Some of them will be sports programs. They'll be involved in music programs, in art programs, and many different programs of all descriptions and types. Father, it's not so much the program as it is their presence, and that you are in them of a truth. Father, the enemy is always out seeking who he may devour. He comes as a roaring lion. He also comes as an angel of light. And Father, we pray at their young and tender age, we ask, dear Lord, for your discernment in their heart.
Amen.
That they will see evil for what it is.
Yes, Father.
And that they will be able to see good.
Amen.
Father, we know that you can give this discerning of spirits,
amen,
unto them, and they will know, and they will see, and they will understand with the ears that you give them, with the eyes that you give them, and with the hearts, with the heart that you give them to understand. And so, Father, tonight, we ask as they go back to their classrooms, to their schools, to their places of study, that you will be especially with them.
Yes.
That you will make them a real testimony
to all that they meet day after day and week in and week out. And Father, may they be a blessing to their mom and dad. Lord, may they desire to be, as the Scripture says, to be obedient and to honor their parents. Father, build your wall of fire around them. Let the enemy not come in and try to steal them away.
Yes, Lord.
But, O Spirit of the living God, cover them.
Yes.
Cover them even tonight as we pray.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, that they would desire to live their lives pleasing in your sight.
Amen.
Walking with you.
Amen.
Guided by you and by your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for them. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Prepare the way before them every day of their lives. Oh, Father, and may they have good success as they walk with you. In thy name we pray. Amen.
You can be seated. Byron.
Well, it's been a real privilege to be at this camp this week. And what makes me feel, one of the things that make me feel really good is that Nikki Cole, the person that owns this place, she and her husband own the place, and she is very pleased to have us here. And it's just been a very, you know, we were a little apprehensive with coming into having to work with new ownership, but it's worked out very well, and we really have a good rapport there. So God has really gone before us. And so I'd like to just announce that the Pine Low Camp for next year begins on Monday, July 31st, and ends on Sunday, August 6th, and that has been confirmed in writing this time. So, and she's agreed that we can have the camp to ourselves, which we really need it, because we use all these buildings, and so that's just a great blessing. Now, going forward for this year, at our last board meeting, we discussed the Fall Pine Low weekend camp that we've been having, and we thoroughly discussed all the pros and cons of that, and the decision was made that it would be deferred for this year, so there will not be a November Pine Low weekend camp this year. Decisions for the future years will be made later. Also, I was asked to announce that the young people's at North Battleford will be at New Year's, not November, as it has been sometimes in the past. It's at New Year's. So make a note of that. There will be notices coming out on all of these, on these things, but it's good to announce it right now. Breakfast tomorrow morning will begin at 7 o'clock. To accommodate those who need to get away early. So hopes that since they're going to have it ready at 7, I hope some of us will be there. We'll plan on it. And I know of some that need to get away early, so they'll be there at 7. But you don't have to be there at 7. It'll spread out for about an hour or so. So they're just so accommodating here, and just appreciate that so much.
When you leave your rooms, the bedding should be removed and placed on top of the beds along with the towels. Nikki says don't worry about vacuuming because there are no vacuum cleaners. There are only two on the grounds at the moment, and she said just don't worry about that. They'll do it. There's no real rush to leave. You don't have to be out of here by 10 o'clock or whatever. They do have another group coming in, but they don't come in till Wednesday. But they want to have the Bayview cleared out so that they can clean it up for the next group that's coming in. So we can enjoy whatever time we have tomorrow as well. Praise the Lord. So I think that's all the announcements that I have. Andy's still there?
Yeah, just one. I just have one announcement. As soon as we close tonight, after we pray, I'm going to ask 10 men or so to take the chairs pretty quickly and stack them up about six chairs high and just scoot them over there out of the way. And then we need to pick up any trash that's on the floor, paper cups, tissues. There's a trash can in the back. And by moving your chairs out of the way, you'll see what's left on the floor. Be sure to take all of your belongings with you. So we'll do that as soon as the meeting is over. That way you don't forget anything. So with that...
Mm-hmm. Should we take our belongings and our garbage?
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, take your belongings and your garbage. Throw the garbage in the back. Take your belongings with you. And we'll move the chairs out of the way here fairly quickly then.
Mm-hmm. Justin and Leah Betcher left their Bible here. It's in a blue zippered case. It was left in the dining hall where the kids had the runaround room. But it is no longer there, and they did not bring it home. Does anybody know where it is? If you could, as you're cleaning up maybe, or maybe, I don't know where it is. Anyway, they are looking for that. Ideally, they'd like it to go home with Rod and Laura, and I don't see them here. Maybe they've left already. Okay, so next plan, let's send it home with somebody from Cranbrook. So Milton's offered to take it. So Milton and Catherine are there. If you could get it to them, if you find it, that would be wonderful. And kids, I still have your really big bookmarks. You asked if I had big bookmarks. You could get all the, you could write out all the books of the Bible. I have them still. I'm sorry. Anyway, come and get them.
Heidi, could you just announce that there was a nice water bottle left in my truck?
Yes, there's a water bottle left in Dave's truck. He'd like to keep it, but, you know, if you want it back, just talk to him.
I did have one other note I forgot. One note. For the man that left a gold-plated Rolex in the men's restroom, the time is 8:43. God bless you. You're dismissed.